We have this exciting service today. You know, one of the things exciting about being a pastor is when you see people develop and you see them grow and you see the call of God on their life, and it just makes it all worthwhile when you see what God does in people's lives. And you know, our mission statement, the four-legged mission statement, is reaching, investing, equipping, and releasing. And we reach out to people and try to win non-Christians to Christ, and, you know, to turn their life over to Him. And then we invest in these people here at Calvary with the goal of assimilating them into the body of Christ and the local church. But then the important thing is we equip, and we want to equip people, these believers, through discipleship, various methods, but also to equip them for ministry, to serve. God didn't save you just to save you to go to heaven. He saved you to serve and to reach out to others and function in the ministries of the local church and to hear a call of God on your life, whether it's vocational ministry or whether it's ministry in the local church, in the body of it, to expand the kingdom of God. And that last leg is so important. It's releasing. Releasing spirit-empowered believers into the ministry, whatever God has called them. Now, most people find their calling, their ministry, in and through the local church. That's how we can function here at Calvary and offer many ministry programs for children and adults, because people minister. But there are times when you have to say goodbye to someone, and not forever, but you know, you got to release them. And I know that when I was a young guy and called into ministry, one of the weaknesses of my lead pastor, the senior pastor, he didn't want to let me go. And it was a good, Don and I were good workers in the church, and so instead of going off to Bible college at that time, you know, he said, "Oh, you don't need that, you stay here." Well, I regret that to this day. Don and I have always regretted that. But our goal, and my goal as a pastor, is when there's a call of God in someone's life, like Dave and Faith, is they're ready to go. The call of God is absolutely certain. We recognize the call of God on this man's life and his wife, and we want to release them with a blessing. And that's why a little bit later on, we're going to be taking a love offering for them, because the program that he's been accepted into is expensive, but it's necessary. How many know ministry costs money? Okay, doing ministry costs money. And so this is something we want to help them with as much as we can, to bless them. We send them off with a blessing. And then they'll come back and visit. They have family up here, and who knows where God's going to lead them. So, but David, why don't you have a seat and join me here? You can. There you go.
Thank you.
I've got just a little bit different service today. David and I are going to have a little chat in front of you. And you may learn some things, and some of you maybe just already know this about Dave. But Dave is a blessing to this church, and I kind of wish they could stay, but God called them into the ministry of an evangelist. And David's call is that, you know, for the longest time when he's working for his credentials, Dave was said, "Well, I'm not sure if I'm going to be a pastor. I'm not sure yet." But there's more to the vocational call of ministry, according to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, than just being a pastor. And I say just being a pastor. So, but he's an evangelist. And I remember when he came to me, he said, "Pastor, I know what I'm supposed to do. I know God has definitely called me to be an evangelist, not a pastor." And so we celebrate that and enjoy that. The ministry of the evangelist has been falling by the wayside in the church, in the modern church, and that's not right, because God gave us the ministry of an evangelist to conduct the full-fledged ministry and preaching the gospel. So I just want to talk to Dave. Maybe some of you have heard his testimony. If you have not, or even if you would like to have a copy, they're out right outside the door. It's a self-serve honor system. To help them with their ministry costs, we're asking for a $10 donation. This will go directly to Dave. So if you write a check, write it out to Dave Ewer. Don't write it out to Calvary, because we're just going to give them the cash. This is theirs. And this is Dave's testimony. It's called Redeemed. How many were here when he shared his testimony? Amen. And he's gone to other churches sharing that as well. This is really an evangelistic tool that you can share with your unsaved friends. It's an incredible testimony of God's incredible deliverance and rescue of a man who's going down the tube. So several years ago, Dave, you were far from God. Several years ago, you were as far away from God as you could get, really, as a man could get.
Yep.
And even though you were raised a Catholic, you were really not religious. You had really didn't have faith in God at all at that time. Tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. If you haven't heard my testimony before, I grew up. My parents, I'm adopted. My adopted parents did a great job with me. They put us in. We went to Catholic, catechism, and my parents were very faithful in bringing us to the church. But I had no relationship with the Lord. And when I grew up, it's a very condensed version of my testimony. But when I grew up, my life just spiraled out of control. I was just so lost. I was so angry. I had no empathy for anyone. I had no love for anyone. God meant nothing to me. And I say this not to like to brag or talk about sin, but I was an altar boy, and I would steal the money when I would put it in back. So I had absolutely zero fear of the Lord. God meant nothing to me. And it was really when I came to the end of myself that God miraculously saved me. But through that, I left the trail of destruction. You know, sin has consequences. God has redeemed my life, and he can redeem yours. But sin has consequences. My older children, they pay the part of the consequences of my sin because I'm divorced. My ex-wife, she pays the consequences of my sin. I've paid it. But God, he is a redeeming God. And that's, to me, there's nothing more important than sharing the gospel. There's nothing. Because in one instant, God can change your life. In one instant, God can take somebody that is completely lost and save them and turn them around in one instant. And as the word came earlier, he is the same yesterday as he was before. Today, Jesus Christ is still the same. His word is just as powerful. So when I look at what God has done, and I actually don't remember the questions that you're going
to
ask me. But
well,
when
I wanted to ask you about you because you were, like you said, far from God. And,
yes.
And sin, I agree with you, sin has consequences far beyond just you.
Yes.
It's like a little dirty bomb going off, and it affects everybody around you, your loved ones, like you said, your family. It affects the people who know you, the people you work for or work with. It's just never just a sin just unto you, but it's to everyone. And you saw those, but you also had some addictions. And I remember, you know, besides alcohol, drugs, pornography, and your marriage, like you said, was ended. And it was just a mess. I mean, you were somebody out in the middle of the ocean drowning, and didn't know what to do. You were surrounded by everything. Your life was pretty much dead. Did you ever think about suicide during that time? Ending your life?
I thought about suicide multiple times in my life. I was lost. I had no hope. I didn't have the nerve to kill myself because I felt it was selfish. But I did things that put me in positions to where I was trying to kill myself. I remember there was a time, and the Lord brought this back to me one time, to where I lived in a suburb of Chicago, and I just had enough. And I was high on drugs, And I took my car and I floored it through an intersection, a very busy intersection. I just closed my eyes. I was like, wow. Probably doing 100 miles an hour through this intersection, and boom, it nearly crashed me when I came on the other side of it, went right through all these cars. And I remember taking 14, 15, 16 hits of acid and taking all these drugs, hoping that I would die. So I know what it's like before the Lord. I know what it's like to not have hope. There may even be people in this church that don't have hope, or people online that don't have hope. I know that from the gut of my soul, what it's like to have to live without hope. But Jesus Christ, he offers hope. And he is hope.
Amen. Amen. I remember you were dating a girl during this time, and her parents really tried to witness to you. And they tried to share Christ, invited you to Bible studies, things like this. And how did you treat them?
I'm not proud of this, but when I was separated, I met some young girl, and I was living doing wrong things. And her parents, among other people, God kept sending people over and over and over into my life to tell me about Jesus. But her parents would share the gospel with me. And I know them. To this day, they're still friends of mine. And I would make fun of them to their face. I would even stand confrontationally looking at her dad like, what are you going to do? Like, you can't do anything to me. I'll destroy you. Prideful, angry time bomb of this person. And these people still loved on me and loved on me and loved on me and kept inviting me to a Bible study. And it was when I finally got to the end of myself that I went to this Bible study with this family. So I want to encourage you, if there's someone in your life that you think they're too far gone, I can tell you that they're not. Jesus, there's no one too far gone for Jesus. So keep praying for those people and keep inviting them. I was horrible to these people, Pastor.
You were at that, when you went to that Bible study, I remember you, it wasn't a pouring down rain or snowing or something, and you walked because your car was broken down, you'd lost your job, you'd been fired for being dishonest.
Yep.
And you really hit bottom. You hit bottom big time. And,
correct.
And you were just moving towards the Psalms bookstore where they had the Bible study. And what motivated you? I seem to remember that you were just driven to go there. It wasn't like an intentional, I'm going to go to that Bible study. It was like you were walking towards it, and you just ended up there. Now, that's a God thing. I mean, he was led there by the Spirit of God to the place that he needed to be for an appointment with God.
Amen.
Now, there were not very many people at the Bible study, but it was tailor-made for you because they talked about being born again, being saved, having your sins forgiven, and a powerful thing happened to you there.
Yep.
At the end of it, they invited you to pray and receive Christ as Savior. What happened at that point?
Yes. It was incredible. I went to this Bible study. I was at the end of my rope. Everything that I had tried was not working. Like you said, I was fired from my job at the radio station for stealing. All they did was share the gospel. And that's so important to understand. These weren't articulate people that had a band behind them that got me all stirred up in emotion. It was the power of the Word of God. And they read through John 3. And by the time they got to John 3:19, I was literally almost shaking because I could feel the conviction of sin, but also I could feel the love of God. So when they asked me, do you want to pray the sinner's prayer or however they said it, I didn't know what it meant, but I was ready. And I seen the truth of what the gospel was for the first time in my life. I seen the reality of what Jesus did for me. So when I started to pray, they said, say this prayer. So I'm sitting there and I'm praying because the only way that I knew how to pray was like a Catholic. So I was like, I had my hands down And they're like, pray this. And the presence of the Holy Spirit was so strong that each one of my fingers, I'm telling you, felt like it was about this thick. And I kept looking down going, what are they doing to me? And God radically, radically delivered me from everything instantaneously.
Amen. That sounds kind of like a Damascus Road experience where you got knocked from your horse and chariot and laid in the dust, and Jesus spoke to you and called you by name, and he led you to the cross.
Amen.
And the blood of Christ, when you prayed that prayer, cleansed you from every sin, every stain. Your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Yes.
And your life was changed.
Yes.
Yeah, you didn't just pray the prayer and then go back to living the way you were living. There were challenges, but God helped you through those, and through the course of time sanctified you continuously, and still doing that.
Amen.
He's doing that to all of us, amen? And you'd pretty much lost everything, though, and God helped you pick up the pieces. And there was, and this isn't in your questions, but God brought somebody special into your life, and you never expected to be blessed in the way that you've been blessed. Tell me about that.
Yep. I just shared this the other day with my friend John, and if you knew how lost I was, maybe the impact of this would be. It would be more profound on your life if you understood how lost I was. I was never faithful to one person in my life. I was lost in sexual sin and pornography and things that are just horrendous. That message is called redeem for a reason. And the blood of Jesus is so powerful. And it's not just a biblical text. It's a reality in my life and in the lives of millions of people around the world, because when God forgave me that day, he washed me and he cleansed me from all my sins. And one of the examples that he showed me, it says in the scriptures that if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. All things pass away. All things are become new. All things become new. So even though through time God's been very merciful to me, but I remember some of the things that I've done. I also see some of the consequences of my decision. But when Jesus Christ saved me, his blood covered me, and he looked at me as clean and spotless. And one of the best examples is my wife. On the day I got married, was her first kiss. She never even held the hand of another man. And while I was asking God, please, I'll take anything, I waited for my kid's mom for almost 8 years to come to the Lord, my older kid's mom. But when I finally had a release to move forward, and God gave me someone like that, it was such a powerful example of how he doesn't look at me the way that other people look at me, or even at times that I have, because I'm covered by his blood.
That's right. Amen. Amen. Praise God. And you shared with me about your call to ministry, and I asked you, you know, how does Faith feel about that? What did she tell you?
Faith is incredible. She's always been so encouraging, and I think I could just sum it up with, Faith would rather have us walking in the will of God than doing anything else.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. I think what he's saying is he's got a really, really wonderful wife.
Amen.
That's very supportive of the ministry.
Yes.
Willing to sacrifice so that you can follow the will of God.
Amen.
And I'm so thankful for that too, because I'll tell you, it means all the difference in the world in ministry when you're equally yoked together. Amen. And you have the same convictions and call on your life. Mm. So I am thrilled about that. Amen. And you have four beautiful children, two beautiful older children.
Yep.
And God has really blessed you and restored to you what the locust hath eaten.
Yes.
He's restored to you what the devil wanted to destroy.
Amen.
And I'm so thankful for that. I'm thankful for God in your life, Dave. Yes. And I'm thankful that God has called you into the ministry.
Yes.
And I'm expecting to hear incredible things in the coming years about how God is using you. I'll say this today, I won't be surprised at anything, but I probably will be, because God is so awesome that he does exceedingly above and beyond all we can ask or think.
Yes.
And so I'm excited for you. I know we've talked about this, there's going to be hardships, there's going to be difficulty, there's going to be challenges to your faith and to your call. And yet, when you know that you know that you know that God has called you, you can navigate through those times without losing your confidence or your faith.
Amen.
And God will help you. God will send people into your life to help you. Just to wrap this up, and then Dave's going to he's gonna share for about 15 minutes, and we're going to open up the altars. But you have people who have spoken into your life that have made a powerful difference in your life. And one of them is a guy named Kwame.
Yep.
And Kwame was around here for many years, him and his wife and children, and powerful man of prayer.
Yes.
And you kind of got together with him, and he helped you develop a prayer life.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, just share just a few minutes about what that meant to you and how that changed you.
Sure. I was fortunate enough to do jail outreach years ago, and this man that I know, Kwame, I seen that he had something different than I had. So I went to him, and at that time there was a very popular term called accountability partner, and I said, "Hey, brother, would you be my accountability partner?" And he said, in his very cool Ghanaian accent, like, "Brother, I don't know what that means, but if you want to come and pray with me, I could." So he prayed at this church, at this little Pentecostal church in Marinette by the Time Warner over there. He had the keys, and he would go there every day at lunch. And he told me, "If you're serious about praying, then come and meet me at lunch." So over a period of about 2 years, I met with him almost every day at lunchtime, and we would spend, 45 minutes or so in the presence of the Lord. And during that time, it was incredible, because he revealed the Holy Spirit to me. He revealed some of these things that you see that you can't explain, even manifestation of gifts and things like that. They may seem so bizarre, but from this man of God, he showed me that those things are not bizarre, and that's actually a normal, that should be a normal Christian life. And I seen him heal people, and then God had used opportunities to where, when Kwame had left, God was like, "Go pray for them." And I was like, "Yeah, but Kwame's not here." And then I realized that, like, it's not him, But I'm so thankful for him. And he still, prior to me even applying to this boot camp, if you understood the seriousness of it, having to quit your job, losing your benefits, there's no plan B. We're burning the plow. And and my pastor here, are the ones I go and I knock on his door and I say, "Brother, what do you think about this?" And he's the kind of friend that will tell me in the past when I've been ready to quit my job, literally email, my wife will testify, all I had to do was hit send. And his spiritual counsel at that time was, "No, it's not the time." And when I told him about this, gloriously, he confirmed it with not just his approval, but with other things that the Lord had spoken to me. So it's so powerful to have someone in your life that can be a mentor. So I would also encourage you to look for others that you can mentor and show them how to pray and show them what it's like to pray in the Spirit, and that it's not weird. You may not understand it, but it is from God. And find those people. And when you find them, treasure them.
Amen. 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 And I know Dave has also, he has spoken into other people's lives. I've given you assignments to mentor someone who's struggling or somebody who has some challenges. You've been faithful to do that as well. And I appreciate that so much. You're willing to serve. You teach a Sunday school class for younger people. And it's a very popular class, by the way. He brings homemade stuff, I mean, tell you.
Faith makes it. Faith.
I smell it on the way in. And so, yeah, pretty good stuff. So we're very proud of you and Faith, very proud of your family. We're very proud of the call of God on your life, and we feel honored that from this church is going to be sending you out. And I know other people have spoken in your life, Pastor Rod and others, but we're thankful that you're here. And I just one last thing. I do remember, I can't let this go, the first time you came many years before you started coming, you got weirded out because Nick did too when he came here, and him and Jill, but because you weren't used to the manifestations, move of the Spirit and things. So, but you came back later after you learned, and I know Kwame helped you with that, and you realized, well, it wasn't weird after all. It's biblical. So the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. So very happy you're here. There is a video clip that we're going to show at this time for Christ for All Nations. This is where Dave and Faith are called. It's a boot camp in Orlando, Florida. Somebody says, I feel called to go there right before winter, but Dave is going in January, and they're going to go as a family, and this is Christ for All Nations. It's Reinhard Bonnke and Daniel Kalinda preparing evangelists. You had to be invited there. It's not anybody, you can't just say, I'm going to go there, I'm going to sign up, is you have to put an application. They interview you extensively, do background, and then they invite you to come. And that was what we were waiting for, the will of God, when we talked about this. Well, let's wait and see. I believe they're going to invite you. I remember telling you that. Yep. But let's wait and see, and then we'll move forward. And I knew then that you were going.
Amen.
And so we thank God for that. Go ahead.
Amen.
But Dave has a message he wants to share. And at the end of this, about 15 minutes, he's going to open the altars up. But he has a definite message that God gave him that is really relevant for now, for right now. So God bless you, Dave.
Thank you, Pastor Tim, very much for given me the opportunity to speak. I also want to thank you for your investment in my life. We've met mentoring through the credentialing and licensing process, and that's something I've appreciated. I never really had like a dad that I connected with in that regard, so in a way he's filled that role, and he's spoken to my life, and even the hard things, you know. So that's something. Thank you. I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, God, so much. Thank you for this opportunity, Lord. I pray, Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, Holy Spirit, help me. Help me that I would communicate your word and help me to see and show these people you. Jesus, anoint my lips, Lord. Help me to just deliver what you would have me to say, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I also want to thank everybody here. I was reflecting upon this today for whatever reason, and it was very powerful and touched me very powerfully because Andy came up to me. And I was thinking, you know, this is a little nerve-wracking. I know this is what I'm called to do. I know that. But it's a little nerve-wracking. But our family loves this church. And we feel loved here. And this isn't just a place we go on Sunday because we like the worship music. There's people here that have spoken into my life, into my kids' life. There's people here that have changed my life. And I'm grateful for all of you. And when I think about it, like, there's a sincere love that I have for the people here. And I mean that, even the teenagers here in the front. I mean, so grateful for this church. All right. One quick thing before I get into it in that video. This is amazing to me. And I think it's one of the reasons why I have a message that I have, is we live in this world that there isn't hope for a lot of people. If you watch the news, or if you get lost in what the world is saying, the world looks like everything is going downhill. Everything is going to crash and burn. Nothing is going right. There is no hope. Why are we even here? What a waste of time. It's only going to get worse. But that's a lie. It's a lie. And if you get sucked up into those things, and you get sucked up into watching the news, you yourselves, even as Christians, can start to believe that lie. So the graduates from last year, right now, as we speak, are in Tanzania, Africa. And just to give an update, in the 2 weeks that they were there, I don't remember the number of outreaches, but they do little mini outreaches, and I think there was about 50 graduates. I don't remember exact numbers of how many that went. But in 2 weeks, they did over 150 outreaches at little schools and things, and over 115,000 people came to know the Lord. Are you kidding me? In California, they are seeing revival in their churches. Jesus Christ will always raise up a standard when this evil comes. He will always raise up a standard because that's his heart. Do you understand his heart? When he sees lost people, his heart yearns. And what he does is he stirs up his church. And if we listen, he'll send people out to go find those lost people. And that's what he's doing right now. Here. That's what's going to happen in Peshtigo. At the fire by night. Not because I'm special or because we have talented musicians. It's because that's what Jesus wants us to do. And his Holy Spirit will accompany it with signs and wonders if you believe it. And if you tell them about Jesus. When you see those crowds from Reinhard Bonnke, think about this. Look at those crowds. If you've ever watched those videos, there's times they have 3.4 million people that give their lives to at one event. It's a sea of people. You can't even see the end of them. And if you watch him, Reinhard Bonnke, or Daniel Kalenda, or Billy Graham, they have one message. You watch the YouTube videos, it's the same thing. They preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. They tell people about Jesus. They tell people about what he did. They don't talk about the benefits of Jesus. They don't say, here's the 401k program that you're going to get with Jesus. They share the gospel. And when you share the gospel and you have faith, God will bring people to you like a magnet. I'm looking at two of them right now, and I won't mention their names, but he'll bring them to you. Because if you're faithful and you know that you don't care what people think, in the Holy Spirit, he's like, ah, he loves people. Do you get that? His heart breaks for those people that are lost. His heart broke for me. Everywhere I went, people were talking to me about Jesus. Everywhere. My lawyer that I tried to trick, he wiped his calendar for an hour and a half and sat there and shared the gospel with me. My neighbor was sharing the gospel with me. Everywhere I went. C.S. Lewis calls him the hound of heaven because that's his heart. He does seek after the lost. So don't buy the lie that there is no hope. You have everything in you. But if you stay quiet and you don't say anything, then how are these people going to get saved? Seriously. Wake up. It's not okay. This wasn't even part of my message, but it's not okay. Yesterday, a couple days ago, I was sharing the gospel with somebody, and I was like, if I had the cure for COVID in my pocket, and yet I walked around and I went, no, I don't need to share that with anybody. I don't want to. That's inconvenient. I'm going to have to go all the way over there. I'm going to be put out. That'd be horribly selfish. Yet we have the gift of eternal life in us. The Holy Spirit is actually just begging us, would you please go and tell them about my son? But we're worried about, well, what are they going to think about me? Or we don't believe that this is enough. So we try and come up with a program, or we try and come up with a catch or a something. And here's Reinhard Bonnke standing in front of a sea of people. saying the same thing Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Millions of people all coming because the Holy Spirit draws them. Because the Holy Spirit knows if you talk about Jesus and you share his word, which is a time bomb, this is an atomic bomb to the devil. If you share his word, the Holy Spirit will come and people can get saved. So he brings people, but you have to be willing to share it. And there's a cost to that. People talk about you. There's people around the world that lose their lives for that cost. So my title of the message is Jesus Christ is the Living Hope. 1 Peter 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. When I read that, I couldn't get off the word begotten. I just couldn't get off it. And I was like, what is this about this word? I can't get over it. John 1:14, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Something is begotten when it's generated by procreation. In other words, it was fathered. This plan, it's a term of legitimacy. So the blueprint of hope was written and designed by the heart of the Father. He says here, blessed be the God and Father. So he's talking about the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It was his mercy. And it was the plan, it was the blueprint of the Father to bring the living hope, to give you hope. And it was accomplished, and it says, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So he took his only Son, and he allowed him to be put on a cross for you and for our sins, and it was legitimized by his resurrection. And that is where we get our living hope in. Our resurrection is that the hope we have in Jesus Christ is not just based upon a book. It's based upon a real event. A real Jesus that's alive. That was witnessed by over 500 people after he came. And he's saying it's legitimate because he rose. Do you get what I'm saying? It was because the Father comes up with this plan, and then he endorses it, and he sends his Son, and his Son follows the plan perfectly. And then because he rose, he showed who he was. And here's the amazing thing. It's alive even today. That word, that same power, is alive today. And it's not just because I'm trying to talk you into it. It's because when I sit there and I tell you my testimony, that's an exact example. How in the world could I instantaneously be delivered from drugs, alcohol, pornography, smoking cigarettes, swearing, sleeping around, all these things? How can that happen? It's a miracle. It's a miracle. The resurrection, my resurrection, my new life is an indication of the legitimacy of his message. That's why I have hope. Do I like this stuff that's going on in this world with COVID? Do I like this stuff that's going on with, you know, the turmoil in our country and things like that? No. But I have hope. I literally have hope. I'm not fazed by the things that are going on in this world. Because I have an eternal mindset. This is not it. Do you get that? I'm already 51 years old. I don't even know how that happened. It's just like I blinked. Really. And some people that are here that are older and probably towards the end of your life, you probably are looking back and going, how in the world Am I already here? Our life is but a vapor, right? The only thing that matters is eternity. Think about that. When you walk by your annoying neighbor and you think, they're too far gone, I've tried to talk to them. When we stand before the Lord, and I shared this with my wife, when I stand before God, I'm not even going to think about her. I'm going to bow at his feet, and I would be like, I wish I had more crowns. I wish I had more things to give you, Jesus, because you're so worthy. And he's given us the opportunity to share hope. It's real. He's real. The Holy Spirit that's living inside of you hopefully is stirring something in you that's saying, what am I doing? How did I get so lulled into just coming into church? I have a calling on my life to be an evangelist, but prior to that, I evangelized. From the first week that I got saved, I walked around telling people about Jesus. This is how little I knew. I remember this to this day. I was walking with somebody and I was telling them about the Lord. He's like, is that true that Jesus never sinned? I said, I don't know. I just know I used to be a drug addict and I know I'm going to heaven and I don't know how. That's impossible. Because I didn't even have a chance to do anything right. And his spirit will testify in your spirit that you're his. And once you have that, you have no fear of death. How is that? That's supernatural. That's amazing. That's miraculous. But if we're not careful as Christians, we can get lulled to sleep and stay in our little social club and forget about the people out there that need to hear about him. And you know what happens? The Holy Spirit doesn't draw him to you anymore. Because you're going to tell them about how messed up the Democratic Party is, or how screwed up, you know, Black Lives Matter is, and you're so lost and you got so distracted by the enemy, or maybe you just got distracted by the comforts of this life. And you're like, I'm not giving up that to go. I'm not going to give up my reputation to talk to this person about Jesus. What if I get fired? And it's so easy to happen. It can happen to us all. But remember what you have. You have the Holy Spirit, the same one that rose Jesus Christ from the dead. When I thought about that one day, I'm telling you, it blew my mind. The day that Jesus Christ, right? We sang that song, you know, how he came up and he rose up from the grave. The day that Jesus Christ rose from the grave, the Holy Spirit was there. Right? He's the one who rose him. He's the power source. He was there the day that he said, get up. Get up. He's inside of me. Do you get that? Yes. He was there then. He was there for every miracle. He's the same one. And yet, if you know him and you're born again and you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, how many times have you shared the gospel this last month? How many times have you laid hands on somebody, trusting God that he would heal them? Have you forgotten who's inside of you? Have you forgotten what he told us to do, to go out and make disciples? That's what we're supposed to be doing. The answer of hope is Jesus Christ. Jesus accomplished this by obediently following the plans of the Father and dying on the cross. So the Father lays out the plans. Jesus follows them to a T, and he said, I only do the will of the Father. And then when he rose from the grave, he proved he was who he said he was, and he defeated death. And then today, he offers that same exact thing for you, and all you need to do is go and share the gospel. So I've had people come up to me and say, lovingly, like, what are you doing? Like, what are you going to do after school? What are you going to do? And I said, I don't know, but this is the next step. That's foolish to throw away your job. That's foolish to throw away your benefits. You've got kids that you need to take care of. It's so plain to me that it's foolish to not give everything for him. The call on my life may look different than yours, but I can assure you that you are called to share the gospel. You are called to go around and tell other people about Jesus. You don't have to have a 15-point sermon, and you don't have to be amazing at it. Tell them your testimony. Tell them what God has done in your life. And then read this word. Let him do it. It's his word, and it's his Holy Spirit. And then God will show up, and he'll change lives right in front of you, and your mind will be blown. But that's what we're here for. We're not here so that we could have a good life and retire well and then go down to Florida and, you know, for vacations and things and golf. And do you understand the price that was paid for you? Do you understand also how valuable you are in the eyes of God, that he would allow his son to die for you? That's how much he loves you. And we have Christians that are walking around hopeless, that are caught up in the nonsense, the wisdom of this world, which is demonic, believing that there is no hope when we have it inside of us. Do you see how easily you could be tricked by the things of this world? Jesus is the living hope. He's everything you need. About a month ago, I was asked to go to a church and fill the pulpit. And it was at very short notice. And I was on my face before the Lord, and I was like, God, what do you want me to say? What's word? Because I don't want to do canned sermons. I said, what word do you have for your people, Lord? What do you want me to say? And I heard the Lord. I heard it so clearly.
Look what I wrote. It's written down in here.
It's forever going to be a part of my life in my ministry. I want you to tell him about my son. I always want you to tell him about my son. That's why I'm here. I'm here to tell you about his son. His son is the reason for hope. And it's not a fake hope. It's not a lie that just talks yourself up and, oh yeah, I feel good, and you watch an inspirational thing. This is a real hope. Our family has went through tragedy. I'm not going to share the details, but we've went through some tragedies in our lives. Horrible things. And I remember going to work the next day, praising God, coming into worship that following Sunday, and being asked to worship, and with absolute sincerity, even though I just went through a horrible, horrible thing, and my wife did too, praising God, not fake, genuine, sincere, because my hope is in him. My hope is in where I'm going. My hope is in Jesus Christ. I know that I'm his son. And the amazing thing is, not only am I his son, but he's going to give me the opportunity to tell people about him. This is how I felt before CFAN in this school. When I would lead people to the Lord, I would just sit there and go, oh my, I would come home and I'd tell my wife, I was like, there's nothing better in life than that. There's nothing. And I truly believe that. He's worthy. He's given you everything that you need. His Holy Spirit lives inside of you, and it's screaming, would you please go tell him about my son? Stop writing people off that don't look like you. Believe in what God can do for them. Before I met Jesus, I had no hope. I sincerely mean that. I've met people, even just recently, somebody I know that I led to the Lord, and they said prior, they wanted to kill themselves. I've had that happen on multiple occasions. There was once a lady I worked with who yelled at me one time because I was constantly talking about Jesus. She said, I don't want you to ever talk to me about Jesus again. Do you understand? I know him. I don't want to hear it. I said, I am so sorry. I didn't mean to do that. I didn't mean to offend you. And about a month later, her 23-year-old son killed himself. And she called me from the parking lot. And she said, I hear voices. And they're telling me to kill myself. I need your help. So I stopped what I was doing and I ran out to the parking lot. That night, I let her to the Lord. And this woman who had just lost her son walked in the next day, smiling and thanking me. And joy, the sorrow was still there, just like with my life and just like you. But I had hope, and she had hope. And her life has turned out wonderful in regards to that. If you talk to this lady now, she's even lost her husband since then. This lady has peace and she has hope. That's what we have. That's the message that we have. So what is your hope in? Is your hope in, well, I hope that the president gets elected again. Or I hope they come up with a vaccine here shortly. Or I hope that my 401k turns back around. Or I hope that my marriage gets better. Or my hope that my kids do okay. If my kids do okay, then I'm okay. You know, at least if my kids turn out all right. What is your hope in? Is it grounded in him? If it's not grounded in him, then I'd encourage you to look at Jesus. There may be people online right now that are watching that don't want to come into this church because you've been hurt or you feel ashamed. I can tell you that Jesus Christ will forgive all your sins. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That's how much he loved you. But what you need to do is you need to give your life to him. You need to repent and turn away from those things that displease him, because he's a holy God. And because he's holy, he cannot have sin in his life. He will not make an exception when you stand before him. If you have sin in your life, and I don't care if you were a church kid or a drug addict like me, if you have sin in your life and you're counting on anything other than the blood of Jesus, when you stand before God, he's going to throw you aside. Depart from me. God will not have it any other way. He's allowed his son to die for you. He will not allow anyone to take credit for what his son has done. You're not going to stand before him and say, I was good enough. I turned my life around. The only way you get to the cross, the only way you get to heaven, is through Jesus Christ. He has set it up that way. That's why Jesus had to die. If you could get there any other way, why in the world did God make that happen? It's stupid. I mean, think about that. In the simplest of, if there was any other way to get to the cross and get to heaven, why would Jesus have to go through that? Why would he have to be stripped and beaten naked? His back literally was like cornrows, torn apart. Do you know where Jesus is right now? He's in heaven. And you know what's happening? They're on their face saying, holy, holy. You think that God would allow that to happen to his son? If you can go, okay, all roads lead to heaven, I'm going to get there this way. It's not going to happen. But the good news is he's so loving. He's so loving that he takes scumbags like me. He takes people like Saul and turns them into Paul. He could take you. It doesn't matter how lost you are. But you need to come to him. And you need to confess your sin. And if this makes sense to you, I encourage you, don't walk away from this opportunity, because God has removed that veil so that you could see the truth. And the cross actually makes sense. He had to die so his sins would cover you, his blood would cover your sins. And it's only by his blood. As in the Old Testament, when they would lay the blood across the mercy seat, it's only by the blood of Jesus Christ that you could stand before a holy God. Because he can't have sin in his presence. It's not because he's mean. It's because he's holy. And if I allowed one of my children to die for you and you went around and took the credit, what do you think I would feel about you? I would have every right to have righteous anger against you. But yet there's people that walk around and say, well, I'm getting to heaven because of this, or I'm getting to heaven because of that. No.
I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That was what Jesus said. He made it very clear. There's no other way. But he's loving. And he took me, a broken, broken, broken mess that hated him. And he can do that for you. So I encourage you, if you want to give your life to the Lord, that you'd repeat after me. And that includes you people online. Heavenly Father, I come before you, Lord, and I repent of my sins. I put my trust in what you did, Jesus, on the cross, Lord. Because you rose, you defeated death. And I'm asking you, Lord, to forgive me of all my sins. And I'm asking you, Lord, to make me your son and make me your daughter. I give my life to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. One of the many benefits of Jesus is he heals. One of the many benefits of Jesus is he delivers. I've seen my kids get healed. A month and a half ago, get healed at my job. But I want you to remember that same Holy Spirit that rose Jesus Christ from the grave, he lives inside of you. He lives inside of these people right here. So if you have a need, come before him. And if you need to repent for your apathy and your complacency with sharing the gospel, I encourage you to do that. Jesus wants to make things right with you. He can make things right with you. And he offers a hope that is real and it's lasting. And it was proven when he rose from the grave.